From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are a Forum for the Fans, Big Blue Roundtable, start of the off-season episode into the between the 2023 and 2024. Filling in for Chris, he'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going to be, you know, all offseasons are going to be split. Half Giants, half rest of the NFL, the entire offseason for every other week. So that will be in 2 weeks from now where Chris will be back. I may be on that episode and we'll talk Giants and the rest of the NFL. But tonight is going to be more of a recap of the entire season, the regular season, postseason, maybe more so on the fan level. We'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs winning another Super Bowl, our thoughts or reaction to the Super Bowl. We'll talk, you know what? I was talking to Lit right before we got on. We'll bring on Lit about the global games that's coming up, the Brazil, and you know what fans think about that. We're just going to keep it really loosey-goosey, man. Have some fun for an hour, and then, you know. But before we do that, Tuesday we had Hockey Talk, Blue Shirts, a little bit of the NHL with the Calgary Flames, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Well, Carl, by the way, if you're on, Scott had wanted to ask you something on that episode. He said he would bring it up on Tuesday. I forgot what he said, but we had ran out of time on Tuesday, but we could pick up that talk on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud on Tuesdays. The Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum on Wednesday, we had post-game versus the Orlando Magic. And then after the All-Star break, we'll pick up on that conversation next Wednesday. And then I have to get back into the baseball and Major League Soccer as well. You know, with spring training and the start of the MLS season, we'll get into all that as well. So I have some time, right? Definition of Lit, the eighth wonder of the tailgate world. What's up, bro? How you doing? Help me fly this plane tonight, man, for the next hour, man.
Hey, Steve, good to hear from you. I'm graced that you're on the show right now. This is really cool. I mean, it's been a minute since you posted. I mean, the legend is back, and I'm glad that we all get to rock with you, dude. But hey, man, what you just said, dude, you're a busy, busy dude. You got to prep for baseball. You got to prep for Major League Soccer. I mean, geez, man, you are all over the place, man. Kudos to you, dude, for holding it down the way you do, man. That's impressive, Steve. What you got going on, diving deep into every sport, man. Man, that's awesome, Steve. That is really, really good, man. You're just a plethora. You're a plethora of information.
Well, we all kind of do it. It's just somebody, you know, like myself, or there's other people that do it. You know, it's just I'll put it like this way. Then we'll get Carl. I see you, Carl. The Bleed Blue Show at its core is really about this, what we're doing right now, having a verbal conversation. And as long as we have been doing it all together, when I mean all of us, I'm talking about the people who actually call in and talk, and we, you know, hear feedback and we share the show. The essence of what we do is exactly why I love doing what we do, because look at what the world we live in right now, Lit. We live in a world where everybody wants to reach it on a message board or on social media, but nobody's verbally talking. 98% of the sports conversations is about texting or reading words on a screen. But they're not putting – you can't hear the emphasis in their talk or what they're trying to describe. That takes a lot of work to put together and bring the right light minds, whether you agree or disagree on certain areas of the topics at hand. But the point is you can't lose that element of having the everyday sports fan, I believe, to have that conversation. You know what I'm saying? Because think about it. You know, everybody's reading shit. They're not – talking verbally. They're not having that conversation verbally. It's all reading shit and just out of text shit. And that's kind of the main reason why we started this shit about 9 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Honestly, Steve, I would rather articulate great dialogue every day with you, Carl, DB, Manny Dogs, than listen to the nonsense on social media. I mean, I see your point. It took me a little while, but I kind of see your point. I'd rather have great dialogue than just read and you know, get overworked or just kind of scratch my head, because that's just someone just trying to put something out there that really never going to be talked about.
Man, there's so much to what you just said, and exactly your point, man. I mean, we could deep dive into that tonight too if you want. But let's bring on Carl and get his thoughts. Hey, Carl, man, listen, we're just going to recap the season, what we like, dislike. How you doing, bro? We just had you on two nights ago, and great discussion on the Calgary Flames, the Rangers, the Stadium Series. How you doing, man?
We did. Good evening, Steve, and Lit. Good evening to everybody.
Good
Hope everybody's
Carl.
Doing okay.
Yeah, we're doing
curious,
all right, man.
I'm curious what Scott. Yeah. I'm curious what Scott was going to ask. I mean, we had to leave out at the end of the show when we were talking about that situation. So it's probably a follow up on that. But we'll talk about that next week.
I was shocked. Yeah, but I was shocked that people froze their ginger root. That was surprising to me. That's one takeaway from that episode. I did not. It must be some sort of TikTok hack that I did not know about. But, you know, here's the crazy thing. He did say he's better. Like, he said he was 100% better since taking it. So that would have been Tuesday. He said by Wednesday, late afternoon, he was great. He said he felt great. And he said that he just couldn't get rid of the cough. Now, that's a little different because the cough is the cough. And that takes a little bit longer. But shit works. I'm telling you, the shit works. So we were talking on Tuesday, because one of the callers, the stakeholder, Scott, on a hockey show, he was saying he was cold. He was, you know, sick. I gave him a recommendation, Lit. The ginger root, if you ever get sick, like a cold, get that shit, boil it into a tea. You will be good in 8 hours. Guaranteed. Never fails. Never fails. So we gave him that recommendation, and he co-signed it. Like I said, it would happen, you know? This is where Lit says, okay, yeah, maybe, no. Lit, you there?
I mean, you know, I normally take oregano oil from Whole Foods. And that kind of does wonders for me. I know that mahogany root, ginger root, everybody kind of has their unique, holistic approach to either keeping from getting sick or kicking that cold. But I'm definitely an oregano oil guy.
All right. Let's start off, man. If anybody else gets in, we'll talk about it. So let's talk, Kansas City Chiefs, back-to-back Super Bowl champs. I was worried about this game because they have Mahomes, the Chiefs, and the Niners didn't, although I think the Niners had a better roster, but I thought the ending was pretty good. It was a slow 2.5-3 quarters, but Lit, what was your thoughts on the Super Bowl? And Carl, we'll get your thoughts on that, and, you know, we'll move the conversation along. We keep it loose as this tonight.
You know, I'll tell you, Steve, remember how when we talked last time you thought about taking a nap between Detroit games, you might take a nap during that game, kind of prepare yourself for the night game. Steve, I'm going to tell you, dude, I'm going to bring this up, man. The way that game was playing out, it was really lackluster, and I really felt like taking a nap. But unfortunately, I had some skin in the game, and I had to make sure I followed. If I didn't have any skin in the game, you know, up until the fourth quarter, it was very, very lackluster. I hate to say it, Carl, Steve, if I'm wrong, please go ahead, but I kind of thought it was just very pedestrian, the flow of the game.
I would agree.
Would you have said that if those fumbles in the red zone on each side didn't happen?
That will probably never happen, Carl, again, but you're absolutely right. I was livid that McCaffrey fumbled that thing inside the 10-yard line. Livid again when Isaiah Pacheco did the same goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the way folks are talking about it, they're like, well, there was no scoring in the first half. I was like, well, there's part of it was because both guys fumbled the ball. Otherwise, there would have been some scoring. That's really, that's the way I took from that situation.
That's true. That's true. The unfortunate bounce hitting the foot on the special teams changed everything, I thought. Because I thought the Niners was in position to getting close to seal the deal, and that was just bad luck, man. I mean, damn, that's bad luck. How did you guys thought about that when the ball hit the Niner foot and it caused the turnover for the Chiefs?
You know what that reminded me of? Remember when the Giants played the 49ers in the championship game, and part of the Giants' fourth quarter comeback happened because the ball went off of a 49ers back foot?
Yep.
It was a very similar situation. And I don't remember who, I think it was Kyle Williams. I think that was the gentleman. He eventually fumbled the ball
in
overtime.
It was.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that situation, like it was the same sort of circumstances. Both at the time, 49ers were in control. There's, you know, nothing else going on the other side, and that sort of opened the gates. And that is sort of I took as the lesson. There were a lot of lessons in that came out of that game, and really the season as a whole. But you know, when you give the Michael Jordan of football an opening, just a little bit of an opening, he's going to take advantage every single time. And mm-hmm. 49ers gave him the opening. He took advantage like he always does. And you are sort of left kind of just holding the bag at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, Carl, with that, with what you just said, I agree with you on that. But if you look at the way that the rules change for overtime, there was a chance that the story could have been rewritten to where the Jordan example possibly could have never happened. If San Francisco understood the overtime rules, there could have been a chance that Michael Jordan comeback possibly could not have happened.
So this has been a debate all week. So for folks that are listening that may not understand what Lit is saying, break down the situation, and then I can go two ways about it. I can actually argue both sides of this. So outline it, and then I'll respond.
Well, you might have to interject and possibly correct me. But for starters, the overtime rules have changed for the week as far as postseason for the Super Bowl. I did not know personally myself the fact that it was a pseudo sudden death if obviously Team A scores a touchdown, Team B gets to go right back at them and score a touchdown. They go to the next round, kind of like in college, right, Steve? What do we call this? A sudden death?
Sudden death.
They call it Kansas City overtime of all the terms, right? All the terms.
So if obviously in that situation, if San Francisco possibly would have deferred, any way you slice it and dice it, touchdown or a three-pointer, San Francisco would have gotten the ball regardless.
So there's two ways about it. And actually, Shanahan not necessarily messed up on taking the ball. He actually messed up by not going for a touchdown when it was fourth down and four at the 9-yard line. The reason behind that was this. Once he decided to kick a field goal, he opened up the door to then right then and there losing the game. Let's say hypothetically, they go and they get a touchdown there. Now, there's two ways. He has two options at that point. He can either go up by 7 with an extra point or go for a two-point conversion and go up by 8. You have to operate under the assumption that because if the other team takes their possession and scores a touchdown, to avoid sudden death at that point, the team that goes second would likely have to go for 2 unless they are just taking the chance that they can get another stop. That's a very, very risky when 3 points at that point can lose you the game. So the 49ers, for whatever reason, elected to kick the field goal. The part about taking the ball is like 51. It's like it hasn't been used. It's the first time it's ever happened in this type of NFL situation. But normally the numbers are like 51-49. Either way, there's not a right or wrong decision. The only thing you would probably factor in is if the other team has Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or one of those type of quarterbacks where if you give them the ball, they might drive down and score. If you have, well, I don't want to give another quarterback's name, but let's just say a lesser quarterback, you could probably take your chance. So that's the thing. Because, like I said, if the Chiefs had won the toss, they likely would have deferred. But even if they, you would, if you, essentially, the team that takes the ball first, you're almost incentivized to score 8 points to avoid a situation where you can lose on the other team having possession and scoring.
Yeah, and was that point two? Because you mentioned there's 2 points to that. Was that point one or point two?
Wait, say that again.
You mentioned that there was two ways to look at it. Was that both ways?
Well, there's two ways to look at it.
Okay.
Yeah, you can take the ball. That's something that you can do. But just know that if you decide to take the ball, you had better get 8 points out of it instead of 7 in that overtime situation. Because if you only take 7, the other team can still walk you off with a 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
If you're gonna go for 3, just know that if the other team gets 7 points, it's over. So those are the two ways you can play it. If you get 8 points, the worst the other team can do is tie.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Well,
that's fair.
And you know what really sucks behind that? What sucks is, mm-hmm. and I know this is kind of off topic, but poor Steve Wilkes paid for that. He paid for that with his job.
Scapegoated.
Yeah. That's bad because there was the two things. It was the punt. I would call it a muff, but the ball hit the guy's foot, and the Chiefs recovered. And the other one was the missed extra point, which why the Chiefs were able to tie the game to make that thing go into overtime. I mean, the fact that he did two drives late in the game, not just one but two, one to get the field goal to go to overtime, and then the one the game winning touchdown. And Carl alluded to him being Michael Jordan. Listen, I hate to say it, but he's probably the best quarterback in my lifetime. I probably would go there. I would probably put him even above Brady because Brady, to me, had better cast of players. He's what? Talented?
He's definitely the most talented. Oh, he's definitely the most talented.
He's definitely a notch better than a prime Aaron Rodgers. The problem with Aaron Rodgers, he just don't have the hardware to back it up. But Mahomes, when you take everything into consideration, I want to know where you guys stand. My lifetime, since I've started watching football, I think he is the best. What do you guys think?
If once he wins two more chips, he's going to be the GOAT. I mean, he's only, what, 27, 28? So, I mean, in the past, you know, 5 to 8 years, he pretty much is the GOAT. 3 rings, four Super Bowls, correct me if I'm wrong, or 4 championship games, 3 Super Bowls. I mean, he's got the hardware, and he's got time on the side, too.
You know, when you combine intelligence, talent, drive, will to win, the ability to rally his own teammates to get them to believe. You know, like someone mentioned this the other day that, yeah, like if you play video games, like on, let's say, Madden, there's that creative player thing that they have. Like, this is like essentially the perfect player. Like, if you were building a guy in a lab, like he would be what he is. You know, those guys, you can't scout them in college. You can't, you know, they just show up. Sometimes you think that maybe if you're taking, the first guy in the first pick in the draft, you're thinking, oh, maybe this guy, can be what this guy is. But nobody could have seen this coming. You know, nobody was watching Texas Tech football thinking that, you know, 7 years later, perhaps the greatest quarterback of our lifetime, potentially, when it's all said and done, is playing football. Like, it's impossible to even project or predict. But, you know, here we are, and, you know, he's got plenty of time to go. You would hope that injury does not, derail any part of his career. The logic and history dictates that there's probably going to be some level of injury because if you look at all the greats basically over the last, 40 years, almost all of them, with the exception of like maybe 3 guys, have a significant injury. You know, Tom Brady missed the season. John Elway missed a large portion of the season due to injury. Dan Marino tore his Achilles. You know, I think only Brett Favre, Eli, and Phillip Rivers are really the only guys that sort of stood the test of time. Everybody else is, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I think, missed, you know, half a season. You know, like, every, you know, the logic tells you that, you know, there's going to be something, you know, that's going to, you know, bring him down for a period of time. But, you know, if he's able to be an Iron Man on top of all this, you know, and win, I don't think he, and I'm curious what you guys think, because I was texting somebody about this the other day. Someone was asking, does Mahomes need to get to 7 Super Bowls or 8 Super Bowls to be the greatest of all time? And I said no. But then I responded with this question. Would you rather win 7 Super Bowls, or would you rather be the first quarterback in the history of football to three-peat?
Three-peat is the harder one.
And we don't,
because
three-peat,
that is hard. And that is more in your prime. Listen, I respect what Brady did. I think we all do.
Yes.
If you were really to compare rosters, if you were to compare rosters, who's on, like, what's his name? Travis Kelce is a Hall of Famer. I would put Gronkowski in that, like, that category. They're kind of like a wash. You know, they're like
one and one.
Right, so that's a wash. But outside of that, Mahomes has no Hall of Famers on his roster that I could think of. Brady, I can name a whole slew of them. I could Darrell Revis. I mean, both sides of the ball. Seymour, Revis.
Well, offense or defense? Because I think I'm looking at
both.
I'm looking at offense.
I'm talking about complete roster. I'm looking at
Guy Moore.
I'm looking at.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
there's
only
okay.
The Hall of Fame.
Well, let's take a look at the defense. Let's take a look. Chris Jones to me is a Hall of Fame. Chris Jones to me.
He should be in there. Yeah, he would be in there. He could be in there. Absolutely, Chris Jones. Yeah.
And right now, it's too early in his career. I mean, he was the first team All Pro this season. Trent McDuffie.
He's on his way.
You know, Snead was another guy. I think he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. So I don't know if they're going to pay him or not. I think he was another All Pro as well. You know, that would be another. You know, they're. It's going to be on the offensive line. I would not say anybody there. You know, the first part of the run, it was Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Kelce on that first part. On the defensive players have really just kind of come along in the last
Sammy
number
Watkins,
of years outside of Jones.
Sammy Watkins, I hear you. But, that was the main three, though.
The kickers
actually watched each other, too. Adam Vinatieri and Bucker, they're both kind of washes. Yeah, they're washes.
Bucker is a weapon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just kind of, maybe this has merit, maybe this doesn't. If you want to compare right now Brady to Mahomes, during Brady's career, he's always had a unique weapon, in my opinion, around him. To whereas Patrick Mahomes has had Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and maybe a couple other second or third string receivers, and he made it work. So if you look at the body of work with the weaponry that Mahomes has had, which I believe is less, except for Kelce, than what Brady has had, man, I'm ready right now to say one more Super Bowl, that three-peat. Mahomes is the
third
dude.
Like,
what do you have to work with?
I'm there with you on that. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. And it's cool.
Moore, Kadarius Toney, those are his. I'm laughing because they didn't do anything or they didn't play. Those were for the active roster guys.
Weird. The better the players that Brady had in terms of offense, like Moss and Welker, and then when Gronk came along, you know, but until 2014, that 10-year period of time, Brady didn't win. That's the weird. That's actually the ironic part about Brady's career. Like the first three Super Bowls, there was not another player on offense that would be a Hall of Famer. You take a look at the team. Like Corey Dillon's probably the only guy, and that's like borderline Hall of Famer. You know, but I remember the receivers like Troy Brown, David Patton, Deion Branch. Benjamin Watson, Daniel Graham, like that was the offense during that time. Then there was that period when they didn't win, when Moss came in there, Welker came in there, and I think in 2010 was when Gronkowski was drafted. And then the second half of Brady's career, when he really sort of established himself as, you know, an all-time, you know, GOAT quarterback. Even then, outside of Gronk, I'm trying to think of other, like Julian Edelman, I don't think is all of Danny Amendola.
Aaron Hernandez
nice
for a few years before, you know.
Yeah. Decent pieces.
Hernandez
decent
the first
pieces.
3 years before the murder. Hernandez would have been was trending that was going to be a Hall of Famer until he had his little situation.
Yeah, those are great points. They have very good players on both sides of the ball in New England. I think that's the reason why they were able to be in the hunt, especially in the weak AFC East. The Jets, maybe had one or two years throughout that run with Rex Ryan. Buffalo was just not good, and Miami wasn't good. So they did capitalize on that, but nonetheless, that's not their fault. But I look at the past.
No difference from how the Chiefs
did it. Go ahead.
No different from what the Chiefs are doing to the AFC West right now. They basically
moved
the entire division.
I'm with you on that, but I'm trying to think. Let's just talk this through. The run, this particular run, beating a hot Buffalo team in their house, went to Baltimore, the number one seed, and beat them. And I would argue this season, the best roster in the NFL, even though it was a neutral site, the Niners, that's a hell of a run. You know what I'm saying? So they did it all on the road after that first game versus Miami, who they trounced at home. That's a great run, man. That's a good resume. I'm trying to think, you know, a lot of the New England runs, they did what they needed to do in the regular season, so they had home fields in Foxborough, so okay, cool. But I don't even recall them going on the road like what Kansas City did this season. What are your thoughts?
The three times that the Pats went on the road to go to the Super Bowl was their first Super Bowl in 36. The 14-2 team, the one that when they got their third Super Bowl, which I think was Bill's best team of all the teams that won the title, they went to Pittsburgh, who was 15-1. That was when Roethlisberger.
Right, I remember that. Yeah.
And they dominated them that year. And then the third time that they went on the road was when they went to KC and beat Mahomes in overtime.
Yeah. Well, he did beat them, but that might be the one-off because when they did square off. He did beat him. Wow.
He did beat him.
And if it wasn't
for the guy going offside on fourth down, I think it's D Ford. He's off. His foot is on the line on fourth down when Brady throws the interception, but they call it back because of the offsides, giving the Patriots the extra possession and time needed to drive down and get the points they needed to get into overtime.
Right. Last point, and then we'll go back to Lid on one thing. The in the pocket, that's where, of course, that was where he was the most deadly is Brady, of course. But like what Carl was saying, it's just the entire package. It's almost like he's a combination of Brady and Aaron Rodgers, or whatever scrambling, like an Elway. Like he's more elusive than like a straightaway runner, like quarterback. So his athleticism, you saw it in that scamper that helped set up the game winning touchdown in OT. It's everything. You know what I'm saying? It's just remarkable. Yeah, I think that 3 in a row would definitely seal it for me, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just looking at the eye test. It's really the eye test, just the talent wise. It's just that would help my point. I would personally probably would put him above Brady. Although I think Brady was well accomplished. Go ahead, you. I'll say something. We'll transition to the other topic.
Yeah, Steve, like you said, I think we could be witnessing, maybe this is not the correct word, but between Brady and Mahomes, we are witnessing the transfer of power or the transfer of the GOAT, Tom Brady, to the new GOAT in front of our very eyes. Because like I said, Steve, you said that you haven't seen this in 10, 15 years or this is, what you kind of stated earlier, that now we're all witnessing it, and I think sooner than later we are going to see that transfer of power when it comes to, yes, Tom Brady is the GOAT right now, but we are going to see the transfer very, very soon.
And the crazy thing, it should have been Aaron. And the crazy thing, it should have been Aaron Rodgers, because he, had he not lost to the Niners in the NFC, the Giants, he should have been in that conversation where Mahomes is. So, yeah, let's go some
crazy.
Fun.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was just saying, Steve, that's a really good point. Aaron Rodgers, compared to the to the other quarterbacks you just mentioned, he's still in the rears with only winning his chip. So, I don't know. Somebody must, I mean, guys must have to be soft, but just have to work out for Aaron Rodgers.
Right, right. Now, this is a topic, this is right up your wheelhouse, and you too, Carl. We were talking about it right before we got on. The NFL expanding their games, you know, another Germany game. Carolina's going to host a home game. And, of course, now they made the announcement with the Eagles going to Brazil. Holy shit, right? Now, Litt said, I didn't know this, but go ahead. I'll let Litt tell it or explain it. You know, in the subsequent season, not this season coming up, but the following, they're trying to do a game in Spain. You know, me and you, us three on this line, we're definitely traveling fans. Do you like this idea with the NFL going and expanding more? Is more better? What are your thoughts? And Carl, same thing.
You know, right now, the three of us, Steve, you, Carl, we are all worldly travelers. To us, this is perfectly curtailed to our lifestyle of, I guess, thinking outside the box, experiencing new things with your friends. So this is like perfectly curtailed for me. Steve, I know you love to travel. Carl, you enjoy traveling, seeing things. So what they're doing, how they're doing it, you know, some people are like, oh, no, that's wrong. You have to take a game. That takes a game out of our hunkies. To me, this is pleasure and enjoyment. Culture, food, experience, watching possibly your team on the road in a foreign country. I'm all down for it.
What's your thoughts, Carl?
The league, the job of the league is to maximize its revenue. And they've had a vision of being about a $25 billion league, I think, by the end of the decade. And the only way you can do that is to find revenue streams in unconventional places, you know, whether it be the streaming that we talk about or going to foreign lands to be able to play games. And that is, you know, as things expand, you know, it started with London. You know, now they went to Germany. Here we have the Brazil. I think Spain is coming up as well, coming up soon, maybe next year, I believe. You know, all these different, you know, aspects. You know, much like the NBA is a global game, and the NHL is a global sport, and baseball is an international sport. You know, the NFL has to look at itself as an international sport. Over the long haul, because, you know, there's only so many U.S. dollars you can get. You know, you have to go and open up your product to as many people as possible, and also open up the inventory of potential talent as much as you can. You know, if it's not going to be a surprise that, you know, within, I don't know, 30 years, you might have maybe 15-20% of the NFL be players that were not born in this country. And I think the NBA, as it stands right now, Steve, you could probably check the numbers, Steve. You probably talk about it on the Knicks show. You know, I think 25% of the NBA players today are foreign-born players, and a case can be made that maybe 5 or 6 of the best players in the league are not born in the United States. You know, like, you have to develop that pipeline of revenue, players, got people that would never have been thought, you know, ever been introduced to football, and you have an opportunity to do so, you know, in the fashion that they provided.
Look at how
I think it's
really interesting. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Feel free, go ahead.
I was going to say real quickly, you know, in Europe, their football, soccer, is number one. It's great to see how they're embracing American football all over Europe.
You know, remember when they had the NFL Europe? Remember that? When they had the NFL Europe? Carl and Litt? Remember that they had that league?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Oh,
yeah, I do. Like, 20,
25 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
They just they're finding a ways to get back involved there because they had games like they had teams throughout Europe. I think Spain,
Germany,
yeah. And so they're finding ways to not put entire leagues. But I think the question is, okay, if I'm with Carl with the revenue, of course, this is a business. Obviously, that's the business part. But the end game, because the haul the toss, especially with going into London games for in particular, are they trying to put a team there? Is that the end game or one of the goals? I don't know, but I think they're still trying to push that. If you guys want to fill in or think, should they find a way to, or should they even explore that because of the time difference of having a team in England? They always have that game, every year in London or multiple games in London. Do you think they would go that route for a place in the team? It's almost like the Jacksonville Jaguars are the de facto England team. Or the European team, because they're automatically losing the home game. Or I don't even call it losing the home game at this point. They're only playing 7 home games at this point. Like, they're going there every year. So if you're a player, you sign with that team, you know you're going to Europe at one point. I don't even know how the players feel about it. But I do, what Litt was saying, it's more
they're
good
willing
for
to play
people
there.
Like us. Now, that's where I think where the fans are divided. I think most fans don't like it. Like, if you're a fan who may have season tickets but do not travel, you may not like it. If you're somebody like a Litt or a Steve or a Carl who do not mind going to different places for the experience, this is right up your wheelhouse. I think we are in the minority and not the majority of how most fans feel. Because I think most fans feel look at it like, well, damn, why do I have to get up at 9:30 to watch a game? Or if you're on the West Coast, 6 o'clock in the morning to watch a game. That's their attitude. So it's kind of mixed. I think we're in a minority, but if somebody specifically like us, if they have a game, I don't know, they might have a game in Australia at the rate they're going. If they're going to do Brazil, they're going to go to Germany. Well, I mean, let's pick a place. Africa, let's pick another place. Dubai, I don't know. Saudi Arabia, I mean, especially places like
very
that,
likely.
You know?
Oh, very, very likely. And, well, and the thing, too, and the reason why you notice it being done, if you notice the pattern – the last couple of years, since they went to the 17-game schedule, the only teams that are quote-unquote losing home games are the teams in the year in which you get 9 home games. Like, the reason the Eagles are hosting the game in, was it Brazil? They're using one of the 9 because of the extra schedule. Every year you get either 8 games or 9 games, year, but, flips year to year.
Correct.
So you're not... You're quote unquote. You're not losing a home game. This is going to be a game.
It's almost like
kind
it's almost like it's deferred.
Yeah, it's a bonus. Yeah,
deferred.
That's all.
You get
that's
that,
all.
But
that's
we got to send you. We're going to send you to Indonesia next year. You know what I'm saying? That's how they play.
Correct.
And listen,
Buffalo
had
the home game
quick.
Last year. Yeah.
Carl, so hypothetically speaking, let's just say that the Giants get picked to go to Indonesia. Okay. And it's a home game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, I don't care because I've got no skin in the game. I don't have season tickets. I don't have a parking pass. But I think most of the complaining of the doomer and gloomers are going to be the Giant fans that go to MetLife every day that are going to, or every Sunday, that are going to be like, hey, man, we just got robbed. We're paying for full season tickets. Yet, I'll bet you maybe 5 to 8% of the Giant fans will go to Indonesia because they can or they want to. So that's where I see people getting upset is when they're paying for a product and they're not actually getting to see it. But if they want to see it, they're going to have to pay an extraordinary premium to go to Indonesia. What do you say?
That's fine. I'd have to – I don't know. Now, here's what I don't know. I don't know if they adjust your season tickets based on the fact – well, now that you know way in advance, I don't know if they adjust your season tickets based on the fact that you're getting less home games than you would have normally have got. That that's what I think. If it's prorated – then you're not really then the season ticket holder is not losing anything. It's just one game I could have gone, but it's being outsourced essentially.
Yeah, I think they would prorate it when it comes to that situation. Now, let you do know this, and Carl, you would know this too. I think I don't know the percentage. I would love to know it from a fan perspective. What percent? I mean, it's a small number, but I don't know the percentage of the people who do have season tickets for the home games are willing to travel like that. Now, I do know people who would and have done it, but that number is low. But that they're in a minority. That's the whole point I was going to say. Yeah, I would agree with you, Lit, as far as there's going to be fans that do not like that. They would look at it like that. I would say that. I would agree with you on that. But I'm just talking about fans who don't go to games at all, home or away. They're just watching it on TV or whatever, or streaming it. There's going to be a lot of these poor people, you know, portions that's going to be online on the message boards, is, you know, why do I got to get up at 9 o'clock? I mean, who knows if they work? I don't know their lifestyle. I mean, when I say that, I mean, we don't know if so many people work, you know, third shifts, and they, you know, want to get sleep in and, you know, wake up by 1 o'clock. It could be that. But when it comes to, let's say they throw the Giants, I don't know, in, I don't know, pick a country, France. Yeah, I think of people like us, but we are, I mean, what's the percentage of us? Like, it's probably like less, about 10%. That's on this tip?
Yeah. I think an all number. Yeah. I think it's no different now than, like, I see the MLB does a series now in London. You know, it's probably no different. It's probably about 10% in all these sports, really.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Is there a game you guys will see?
That's how I look at it. I'm hoping, and I think I know the Panthers – obviously, are going to be, I believe, they're one of the teams that I thought I saw is supposed to have one of these foreign games, I believe. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. I have to check that.
It is. They definitely have a home game in Germany. And I, to be honest, I think it's going to be the Giants, to be honest with you.
What I'm thinking.
I don't think it's going to be the Cowboys. I don't think it's going to be the Cowboys. I would think they were going to throw one of the brand franchises. And that really narrows down the pool to the Giants and the Cowboys. I could be wrong. I don't see the Cowboys going there. I could definitely see the Giants.
Steve, you really think that we might be in Europe again this year? You think we might be in Europe?
Well,
this year?
Look at the Carolina Panthers opponents who they would have played in Charlotte. It would have been the two NFC East teams. It would have been the Cowboys and the Giants. Of course, the teams within their division. I don't think it's going to be a division game. I could be wrong.
They've never played it. Yeah, since the start of this whole foreign country series, there's been no division games ever played there.
And then the other AFC team that would have got the extra game, it's possible but unlikely. I think it really would come down to between the Giants and the Cowboys, honestly. And the Giants weren't there since the last time you went, Lit, what, two seasons ago? So the Giants never played in Germany. I think it would come down. I really believe it's them, but I would put my money on the Giants.
Cowboys haven't been in a foreign country, I think, in like 10 years, I believe. 10, 12 years, I think, is the time. It's been a long time for them.
Right. Now, Carl, if the Giants would – so for the record, since we're the traveling fans, so if the Giants – it doesn't even matter where the Giants go. So you would go no matter where they would go?
I would have to consider that one, you know, because you start wondering, like, how many more of these trips are you going to do? Like, you're going to do this for the rest of your life? You know, I mean, you'd like to, but, you know, sometimes there might be an expiration date. So it's like, hey, you know, there's going to be very few times where this is going to come about. So you may want to just take advantage now while you have the opportunity.
Okay, fair. What about you? Go ahead.
Honestly, wherever they would go, I mean, that's fine. You know, I just bank all my airline points, and I mean, I'm being out there and seeing the world. Hopefully, we get a good Giants game, but you know, out there, just being out there with my friends is just an amazing experience. I don't think it'll ever stop. I mean, once it's embedded in you, it's like, you know, as long as you do okay financially, I mean, there's nothing that should hold you back.
Well, see, that's another conversation, right? Because when fans think it's about a lot of money, which it can be. It's more about the preparation. If you know the schedule, or if you start saving a lot of time before it even starts, you could easily. You just have to sacrifice things. You may not want to go out to eat a lot. You may not want to, you know, buy that new car you want. It all depends on how much you earn and what you're willing to sacrifice to do what you want. I mean, I think people – here's the thing. I think people do have the money. I just think they choose to do it for things they – you know, they have their choices, and that's fine. If you choose to, you know, go to certain places that you like Vegas or Miami or whatever, or I mean, that's what you do. But to say you don't have the money, you can easily find the money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just about the lifestyle choices. What are you willing to give up, and how badly do you want to go? Like that's the thing, right? You were saying it earlier. If you're paying, what, $10,000, $15,000 for season tickets, that's easily – that's not even a trip. That's – you don't need all that to go to England. You know what I'm saying? Not $10,000.
No, exactly. See, $10,000, that's like almost 3 years for me traveling, going to hotel and flights.
Yeah. Right. That's like 4 or 5 trips. That's like 4 to 5.
It's what it comes down to is people's prioritization. And, you know,
there it is.
If the team's trash, you know, it certainly makes it a little bit more discouraging for some fans than if the team is, you know, if the team is decent, where it's like here, take a minute. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, right now, if you're a Chiefs fan that's been basically, you know, before the last, like, 5 years, you know, even – I mean, they were good even when I was a kid, maybe in the 90s. But, like, now, like, you're in the prime moment of fandom. You want to go anywhere. If you tell me the game on the map, just put it anywhere on the map in this country, Antarctica, folks will line up to go up there.
But I will say this, Carl. Now, I'm speaking for me. I think Lit may be in agreement with me. It's Carl, you could speak on it too, because we've all done the London game, all three of us. It's a little different because to me it felt more like a vacation than going to, I don't know, Vegas for the tailgate or the annual tailgate or Miami. Like, you know, okay, the weekend festivities on the road is one thing, but when you go to places like that, it felt more like a vacation because you were there more than just the weekend. I think most people were there for at least five days. So to me, it's... Even if the Giants stunk and it was a new place and I never been to, for me, I probably would go, knowing that they stunk. But if it's a place outside of the game, of course, it would, like Liz said, it's the experience, that new experience. It's like killing two birds with one stone. You get
exactly,
to do,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? The living experience outside of the sports, the sights, the interaction with the culture, and then hoping your team wins. It depends on how well rosters put together. And then it's like, you know, if they sting, it's like you knew they're probably going to lose if they sting, if you believe that. And you knew that going in. But it was the other factor, the lifestyle, the culture, the new experience. That's the stuff I definitely love about definitely going to new stadiums in different countries, especially for sports. What about you guys?
You know, just real quickly, going to London, yeah, the event was to go, obviously, to the game. But for me, you know, last time I went there, I was with my mom and my dad, so obviously I had to do the mom and dad things. I was on my own. I got to do my own thing, man. I had some amazing Indian food. I had some amazing Chinese food that I don't get out here. So to me, the whole experience, it was different. It was totally different from going to Miami, Atlanta, Vegas. So I cherish that because it's not going to be an every 4 year cycle or every 2 year cycle, depending on the outcome of the seeding of the Giants. So this will be probably my third time going to Atlanta. I know what to expect. Going to London, I didn't know what to expect, but I created it. I created something that was so amazing, fun, phenomenal that it's not going to be a regular occurrence.
Right, right. What about you, Carl? Oh, you just said it, right? But if you want to double down.
Well, yeah. I mean, going to some of these foreign countries, you know, just on your own, you do have to take the four to five day journey out of it. It's not something that you can just say, hey, I'm going to fly in on Friday and leave on Monday. Like, that's not I refer to it as an experience, and think of it in those terms. Once you do that, you know, you can kind of, you know, you explore, you see all the different, you know, when we went to London, like, I think we went what day did we get there? I think we got there that Thursday, if I remember correctly.
Thursday.
Maybe it went, yeah, I think it was that Thursday, you know, and you take the whole day to explore there, and then you stick to Saturday and you explore. You have this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. By the time you get to Sunday, it's like, all right, you know, now it's that time. And, you know, I probably could, you know, if I thought about it correctly, probably should have taken much longer, you know, to be out there. But those are the things that, you know, when you decide to go to those countries to explore, you know, it becomes much more than just about the football game that's going to happen, you know, for those 3 hours on that particular Sunday.
Absolutely.
And on a smaller scale, it's kind of related to what we're saying. It's kind of like, as much as I've been going to the home games, like we all have, all three of us, like all my life, but I know we've been there. But we know the energy on the road is better. It just is.
Always will be.
I'm a middle-aged guy like you guys. We're middle-aged men. If I've done it like a million times, it's cool if it's a big game and I might be into it. But if it's nothing like when we were in like Dallas or Chicago, of course, right? Or, you know, Vegas or Atlanta, Charlotte, you know, like it's just that 3 day window or 4 day window, depending on when you get there. It's just the camaraderie, because it's almost a me against the world kind of feel when you see fans you may or may not know, and wow, you're there for the common reason. And there's that little factor right there. I think that makes it a little bit more special, I believe, in my opinion, why the road games are better, especially if you win, of course. But when San Francisco, you know, back in 16-17, like it's something special about that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I agree.
It's Steve, you know what it is? I just realized it. Steve, Carl, when you go on the road, it's the unexpected, which is a great feeling. When you go to MetLife, it's like, we already know what to expect. Everything is all like laid out.
And I think that's all home games. When I mean all home games, I'm talking about any team, any
all
sport.
Yes.
Any fan, if you're a Saints fan or, Bronco fan, it's the same thing. If you have season tickets for 30, 40 years, you know what to expect. And if that's what you choose to spend your money on, God bless you. But not me. If the Giants go to, I don't know, Japan, Tokyo, you know I'm there. I ain't doing shit. But I mean, I ain't spending no extra money on whatever it is. We going to Tokyo or we going to, I don't know, Australia or Sydney or something like that. That is a once in a lifetime. That's killing two birds with one stone. You have got to take. That's what I'm thinking to myself. You got to take advantage of that. You gotta make it happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But anything else you'd like to say or bring up, or on because we got like 6 minutes left. Anything else? Topics on squad or around the league? Thoughts on the season? Or?
It's been kind of an interesting off season with coaches and disgruntledness and power trips and egos and he said, she said, you said. In a short amount of time, I'll tell you that.
Your thoughts, Carl?
You know, as we conclude sort of the season, you know, the Super Bowl and the season sort of brought like a lot of lessons into the fold, right? Like, independent of who won the game, like the season was a victory for those that believe that having the super quarterback can trump the great roster. You know, there are some people that would say, hey, let's just build sort of a monstar team and have a decent quarterback and we can beat Patrick Mahomes. And you find out that's not exactly how that's going to go. Then there is we need to pay the running back. The Chiefs are showing again. You don't really have to. If you want to pay a wide receiver $25 million, the Chiefs traded arguably the best receiver in the league and won two Super Bowls without him.
Wow.
You can still win with defense. The Chiefs this season, I think in the postseason, allowed 15 points a game in the postseason and never allowed more than 28 points in any game this season. You can still win that way, but you got to have a great quarterback to do that. Like, there's all these different things that are, you know, sort of lessons that you just sort of take out of the year. And in the final probably conclusion, you know, unfortunately, if you are Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, no different than Reggie Miller, Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone, Gary Payton, you just happened to unfortunately be born in the same time period as Patrick Mahomes, and your career is likely going to end with, unless you can get lucky, you know, it's going to be ending in that where your plaque at the Hall of Fame is going to say, you know, never won a championship because Patrick Mahomes is in the league. It's unfortunate.
Right. Let me say this, and we'll go for final thoughts. I was thinking about this earlier this week, and about Andy Reid's legacy, especially earlier on when he was a Philadelphia Eagles coach, and all those years with McNabb, and how the blame was to go to, you know, Reid or McNabb. He's got to be riding high, of course, because now he's got Mahomes, and he's kind of written or wrote the ship of what his legacy was when he was in Philadelphia. Even, you know, the years before Mahomes got there, you know, when they brought on Andy Reid. I remember when Andy Reid got hired with the Kansas City Chiefs and how people said, oh, he never won nothing in Philadelphia. Why did we get this guy?
Yep.
Now look at it. It's just amazing when you get that right quarterback. And they got a gem because the Chicago Bears fucked up that draft for themselves. That's was what, I mean, who knows what history could be had what the Bears did, what they needed to do to get him. But the Chiefs ended up getting him, and oh my God, Carl, real quick, but then we go to live for final thoughts. If the Chicago Bear fan, how do you feel when you see Mahomes just rack up championships like this? You know what I'm saying? In real time.
So that operates under the idea that he would have been
in Philadelphia
in a situation. Yeah, I mean, that operates on the idea that he would have come to Chicago and done exactly the same thing as he did in Kansas City. It's a dream, but that's why structure matter. Mm-hmm. Where you go to matters. You know, when Mahomes was I told the story to Lit a couple weeks ago and a couple of the other guys. When Mahomes was taken by Kansas City in the 2017 draft, the team that he was coming to had made the playoffs three of the previous 4 years and had just won 12 games the previous season. But the coaching staff and management had made the conclusion that Alex Smith could only go so far, that the limit was the sky and not the sky being the limit. And that's when they decided. Now, most teams would say, hey, we have our quarterback. He's won 12 games. Why are we switching quarterbacks? Well, why would we even do that? That's the point, because they weren't winning. You reach a ceiling with a certain guy. And they found the guy that they thought could take them, can open up the skies, can make sunny days as opposed to, you know, 60 degrees. And they found their person. They were able to, you know, mature him, be able to teach him. And once he was ready to be unleashed on the league, the story writes itself.
Right on.
One last thing on that note, they also got it right, too. I mean, you know, if you look at quarterbacks current now, 5 years ago, whatever, there's not a Patrick Mahomes in every draft. But with that, with what they did to get Patrick Mahomes, they got it right.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Hey, look, final thoughts? Carl, final thoughts after that, then we'll close out. We'll be back, of course, in 2 weeks to pick up on Big Blue and the rest of the NFL and two Thursdays from now. But, look, final thoughts, man. This is a fun conversation from a fan-level perspective, though.
Yeah. You know, Steve, this was a really good, intimate conversation with the three of us. You know, Carl, Steve, yourself, just having great dialogue, just being really, you know, articulate about how we see things, how we feel things. I'm glad that we got to break down, you know, certain segments, obviously, of the Super Bowl. We talked about, you know, the legacy with Patrick Mahomes. You know, we threw in a little what-if scenarios if the Giants are going to go to Europe or wherever else. We talked about, you know, fans that like to travel as opposed to fans don't. So this is really, like, a really good kind of starting of going into the next segment of where we're going to go diving into the Giants, but it was a really nice buffer just to have this guy chat right now and just kind of this just be really spontaneous and free-flowing. It's just a really, really, really good show, man. I'm glad I was able to be part of it.
Salute, bro. Salute for of course, joining, man, and running this thing with us, man. Thank you, man. And Carl, final thoughts from you, and then we'll get back into the talk in 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, I just want to echo the same things that Jason just mentioned. You know, it's always good now that we've had a season to sort of, you know, put aside and, you know, we can kind of talk about some things that may be on the field, but some things in the sort of historical sense and legacy and just, you know, even some stuff beyond the game and, as you know, look ahead here. I'm probably only going to read a mock draft one time between now and the draft because I have no interest in them. But if I'm reading this correctly, that the Giants are targeting a wide receiver, first pick in the draft, Are you serious? I'm going to leave it at that.
We still have Daniel Jones on the roster, right? Because why would we waste a pick on the receiver? If we're going
59 minutes. We went 59 minutes without mentioning Daniel Jones. We just said
we could mention it in 2 weeks. I have my notes that I've saved throughout the college football season, and I have an idea what they should do. I don't know what they would do, but we'll talk about it in 2 weeks, man. Guys, it was an honor discussing this stuff, and we'll continue the conversation in 2 weeks. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. We'd love to get Chris's thoughts on the all season with the Big Blue and then also the rest of the NFL. We'll talk, you know, whatever happens with the other teams. We'll pick a couple of teams and run with it in 2 weeks behind the Giants on February the 29th at 8 p.m. at Eastern Standard Time. All right, gentlemen, it's good talking with you. San Grace, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Steve, have a good night. I'm out.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop.